goes back. And but this is one of the Sundays. We try every month to have a Sunday where the children's church sets out. And I did not ask them for this to be the week. But I thought, I'm so glad that you guys, your first Sunday you're here, is with the children out here. Because I think children make a church fun. And hearing the sounds and watching them worship, I just think God has orchestrated this whole thing. Just amazing. So today, and I'm preaching on Romans chapter 12, and I titled this sermon, Making Church Great. Now, for those of you that this is your first time, I preach through a book. I don't just pick topics. I just preach through. So I've been preaching through Romans for what some people in the church would probably tell you 6 or 7 years. But we've only been here for 4, so that's not true. But we're in Romans 12 today, and I'm going to read verses 10 through the end of the chapter. And it's amazing. Now, the week before Easter, I spoke on one verse, let love be without hypocrisy, abhorred what is he evil, cling to what is good. Today we start at verse 10. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And we've all met people like that. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word brings life to us. It changes us. It transforms our minds. It's what makes us have the mind of Christ, to think your thoughts. Today we yield ourselves to you, and we yield ourselves to the moving of the Holy Ghost, Lord. So, Lord, we might say it this way. We're laying our minds on the altar today, and we're saying, Father, renew our thoughts. May we think the thoughts of God. May we think like you think. So Lord, if there be any wicked way in us, if there's any contrary thoughts to the word, I'm asking today to not only change my heart, but change every heart in this place. If anyone does not know you as their Savior and Lord, I pray, Lord, today would be the day of salvation for them, Father. Lord, this is a great day. We pray your spirit would just touch each and every one of us, minister to every person. I pray, Lord, those that are loaded with care would leave lighthearted today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me start by saying church was God's idea, is God's idea. I think a lot of people today think that church is a good idea, but maybe it's not God's idea. No, you're wrong. Church is God's idea. The attitude today is church, I'll work it into my schedule every once in a while. Yeah, it's not a big deal. If it's convenient, I'll go to church. And that attitude's not from God. Sorry to say that, but it's just not from God. Church is God's idea. Can I get to heaven, Pastor Eric, not go to church? I wouldn't gamble on it, but probably. I don't think it's a wise choice, but, you don't get to heaven because you belong to a church. You get to heaven because you believe in Jesus Christ. I will say I think the path is a little easier when you belong to a church. I think that it's more joyous when you belong to a church. You know, and we all know this verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. He says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now listen to that. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Where's those good works going to happen? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? The coming of the Lord. I don't know, but do you see that day approaching? I see the day of Jesus coming back, approaching very soon. It brings me great joy, quite honestly. When I really get to pray, and one of the things that I pray is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, and I believe He is. If He tarries another 20 years, that's still quick, isn't it? It's still coming quick. So church is God's idea. And if we run it like the Rotary Club, we're messing up. Now, there's lots of community organization, and there's value to, I think, all of them. Rotary Club is great. They do great services. And Kiwanis and all those other clubs, they do great service for our community. That's wonderful. The church is a little bit more. I'm sorry, that's an error. The church is a whole lot more. Why? Because the Spirit of God is here. But I think for too long, we said, God, we got this thing called church. We'll do this. We've got some great ideas. You wait, God, you think about this one. I've got some ideas to build your church, Lord. And He says, listen, son, I build the church. You just follow Me. So I'm not crazy about programs. I'm crazy about following Him. And if He tells me to start a program, we'll start a program. But any program that doesn't win souls and any program that doesn't serve people ought not be in the church, in my opinion. Because He has laid down a mandate. He took almost a whole chapter of the book of Romans and said, here's what I want church to be like. And He says, let love be sincere. I love that first verse. In other words, church ought to be somewhere where you can come in and take the mask off. And I can be genuine. You don't want me to get too genuine, but I can be genuine. We can be genuine with each other. Why? This woman knows me better than any. I think she knew me. She knows me better than my mama knew me. I've taken the mask off with her. And we ought to be able to do that with each other. You know why? Because we love each other. Why would I ever talk about my brother Hutzpeth? Even if I knew something, why would I say that to someone else if I really loved him? I won't. That's exactly right. I will not do that. And that's the way. Now, is that the way church is today? No, sir. You better be careful what you say and who you say it to. You might find it on Facebook before you leave this building. There are people out with their phones right now saying, what's he saying? I'm going to put it on Facebook. He says, be affectionate. Be affectionate. Can I just be really honest with you? I have a hard time with that. Because I wasn't raised that way. My mama didn't hug me. Isn't that pitiful? I think that's pitiful. Now, I tell people that, and so people come up to me and say, oh, I know you don't like to hug. That's not true. You hug away. You might get a cold fish, but you hug away. Because I'm working on this. All right? I'm working on being affectionate and being kind. I have a hard time with my wife with that. I'm going too far. Tree was sweating up here. Oh, dear God, dear. Where's he going next? But I'm working on that. So when people come up and say, oh, I know you don't like to hug, you hug me. Oh, dear God, this is going to be a hard afternoon. I can tell you. Because it's something I'm working on. You know, Scripture says you greet each other with a holy kiss. Do not kiss me. I know it's Scripture. But you kiss somebody else. I'm working on being hugged, okay? What am I trying to say? Church should be an affectionate place. We ought to act like a bunch of Italians at a family reunion. Oh, happenita! You know, grabbing each other. That's the kingdom. That's the family. It's not something we put on. It's who we are. We love each other. We're deeply. Did you notice that word? Do you know, I love it when the Holy Ghost starts describing things. He doesn't say be affectionate. He says deeply. Deeply affectionate. That's just like, I've got aunts. You remember that when you were a kid, they'd come and squeeze the cheek and kiss you. And I'm like, ugh. It was not deeply affectionate for me. But we need to be deeply affectionate. Honor, respect, and value. Giving preference for each other. In everything we do. No, you go ahead. We ought to be the kindest people on the earth. No, you take that seat. It's the last seat. I don't mind sitting in the floor. You go right ahead. Preference, giving preference. Can I just say the Lord convicted me of taking the closest parking spot to Walmart? Yeah. Can't do it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost said there's people that need that space more than you do. Lord, it's raining. A little water ain't going to bother you, son. You go ahead and let somebody else have the close part. What are you doing? You're giving preference. You're actually giving preference to somebody you don't even know. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? I didn't see Jesus pushing people away. I saw him pulling them to him. Give preference. Give honor. We gave honor today to people that deserve honor. It's part of the kingdom. You know, the scripture actually, some commentators said this, outdo each other in this. You ought to try to outdo each other in serving each other. The third thing that I notice is he says, be enthusiastic. Be passionate about the opportunity to love, because that's serving him. Now, I don't mean to scold you, but I'm going to. I find that we are a very unpassionate body of Christ today. We can take him or leave him. The body of Christ doesn't get real excited about anything much. I think it's wrong. I think there's some things that ought to stir you up. When's the last time you hit the altar bawling for people that are unsaved? When's the last time your heart was broke because you knew somebody couldn't make their electric bill? You see what I'm saying? We ought to be passionate people. We ought to be people that when the Holy Ghost touches our heart, it stirs us up. And you say, well, I'm just not that way. Ask Jesus. You ask the Lord to begin to kindle a fire. And I'm going to tell you, the one about the lost. The church has lost their zeal for winning the lost. Shame on us. But more than shame, let's pray. God, you know, if he gave us the desire to win the lost at one time, he can give it back to us. We ought to have a passion about sharing Jesus with people at work. We ought to have a passion when we're walking down Walmart aisle. If we hear somebody talking about a problem, it ought to stir our hearts and say, can I share something with you? You see, I was in that very situation. I went through something like that. And can I tell you, you know, we're really proud to say, I lost 50 pounds. Ask me how. We'll wear the button all over town. I have not lost 50 pounds. But I would wear the button. You understand? Why would we be happy about sharing that? Why will we share Amway, but we won't share Jesus Christ? Amway's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. We got people dying and going. You realize we got teenagers that's cutting themselves because they're in so much pain, not physical, emotional pain. You know what? That goes all the way back to the Old Testament. There's nothing new under the sun. That goes back. Do you remember when Elijah was on the mount and he was calling upon fire? Do you remember what the prophets of Baal were doing? Cutting themselves. It's demonic. Yes, it is. And we've got young kids. You might be surprised how young. We got kids cutting themselves. And we have the answer. Let me tell you, little girl, blood's already been spilt. He can heal your heart. He can touch you where you're at. Do you feel that right now inside of you? That's what I'm talking about. We ought to be passionate about some things. You know, I know that some of you are serving and hoping that certain people get in the White House. But I find that many politicians, they would negotiate anything and everything. You know why? Because they're not passionate about anything. They won't stand for anything because there's nothing really deep in their heart. There ought to be things in the child of God that you says, I will not back down on. And Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, lived and died for my sins. Right? That's one of them. I will not compromise on that truth. We need Him, and there's only one way to go to heaven. There's not many ways. There's one way. Don't compromise on that. Mary really was a virgin. Don't compromise on that. We may not know everything, but we know some things absolutely. You know, there's people that come to you and they say, there's no absolute truth in the Bible, or there's no absolute truth in the world today. The answer to that question is, do you know that absolutely? Are you absolutely sure there's no absolute truth? There are absolute truths. The Word of God is an absolute truth. You can base your life on it. Let's get passionate about Jesus. The next thing is, he says we need to be patient. There's a progression. Everybody's like, oh, dear Jesus, he's preaching on patience. The Bible says, in your patience possess you. Listen up, Edith. In your patience possess you your soul. Say it again. In your patience possess you your soul. The progress of patience is hope, perseverance, and tribulation, and pray steadfastly. I was talking, we told you we went up to Eastern Kentucky to this wedding yesterday, and I was talking to Treva's little sister, Tricia, on the way up there, and she said, I quit praying for patience. And you know, that's the stance that most Christians, man, I prayed for that one time and all hell broke loose, and I thought, I ain't praying for that no more. She said, today all I pray is, God help me to not hit them. Just don't let me hit them. That ain't good enough. That ain't good enough. Did you notice when I was reading this scripture, it sounded a whole lot like the Sermon on the Mount? That wasn't Jesus. That was Paul. Paul wrote that, but it sure sounded like the words of Jesus, didn't it? Be patient. Be patient. What do you mean? Be patient with other people. They're a work in progress, but they don't act right. You know what I heard them say the other day? No, and I don't care. Be patient. You go over to their house and you open the refrigerator door and there's beer in the refrigerator. Be patient. God's still working. You come to my house and there's beer in the... No, I'm too... Be patient. I'm a work in progress. Be patient with others. Be patient with yourself. You also are a work of progress. The Holy Ghost is working in you. Don't step out of patience. We can do that. Isn't it great to have both daughters here today? Amen. Precious. We stay in patience. Even when you look yourself in the mirror, you may not be exactly happy with what you see today, but the Holy Ghost is in charge. The Holy Ghost is working in you. I was talking to Brother Bud. It's amazing before service. It's amazing that many times we don't see the hand of the Holy Ghost in our life until 20 years later. You may think Rome is burning. Rome is burning. Everything's going wrong. 20 years later, you think, well, Jesus led me right through that. He led me right through that trial. Led me right through that time of tribulation. Steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That doesn't just mean in good times, guys. In bad times, He's still leading.
Yes.
In times where you're wondering if He's ever heard you at all, He's leading you. He's right there with you. It takes great faith, doesn't it? Pastor friend of mine, he's going to preach for us here in a few months. I love this man. I was 16 years old when he became our pastor. Brother Darrell, his 16-year-old girl got pregnant. Pastor's daughter got pregnant. Oh, dear God. He wrote his resignation. You see, the Bible says if you can't lead your own family, you don't need to lead the church. And then tell the Holy Ghost, tell the board, first of all, said, we're not accepting that. Thank God for a good board. And then the Holy Ghost said, at what point do we quit leading just because times get difficult? You see, you can lead through hard times. The Holy Ghost leads through difficult times. You may not know He's present, but He is present. Be patient. Be patient. Walk in faith. Understand He's right there. I've been through times where I didn't know if God remembered my name. Today I want to tell you God remembered my name. In the worst of times, God was there. Be generous. Be generous. Love isn't stingy. I got one amen out of that. That's pretty pitiful. Be generous. Love is not stingy. Thank you. We can move on. I find that love costs you. Love costs you greatly. We went to a wedding. Did I mention I went to a wedding then? Ain't nothing wrong with my memory. 5 hours. I love to drive. I did not want to go to that wedding. I am crazy about weddings anyway. Too much love, you know, that affection. But when they're 5 hours away, driving 10 hours for a 30-minute ceremony doesn't thrill me. But it thrills my wife. So love doesn't say, what are we doing? Love keeps your mouth shut. Seriously. I didn't argue with you, did I? Speaking of that, I didn't argue with you, did I?
No.
It's on record. Why? Because there wasn't an ounce of me that wanted to go to that wedding. Because I love this woman. Why will a pastor get up out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and go somewhere because he's got a phone call? Because he loves that person. When God described Himself, He just said, I am love. I am love. And He gave. God so loved that He gave. When you love, it will cost you. Man, you know that, don't you?
Amen.
Deborah's got cancer, and there are times that I know she's in pain. And I'm going to tell you something. I think he hurts worse than she does. I really do. She has a physical pain. But I'm telling you, when I talk to that man and he begins to tell me about what his wife went, I see pain in his eyes. Why? Why is it that we hurt so much when someone else hurts? It's because we love them. That's the kingdom. You see, I started this by saying church was God's idea. But I don't think we can do these verses until we meet Jesus. I don't think we can love like this until Jesus comes in our heart. I don't think we know what patience is until Jesus reigns in our life. We can't do this without Him. We've been having church, not us, hopefully, dear God. But I'm going to tell you, all over this world today, they're having church and they didn't invite God in.
That's true.
Well, We read a verse when we want to win someone to the soul or win someone to Jesus, and it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in." We read that to say, if you'll just open the door to Jesus, he'll come into your heart. That verse is taken out of context. That's not written to people. That's written to the church. That's in Revelation when he's talking about the churches. What's he saying? He said, "I'm standing at the back door of the church doing this, and you won't open. You're singing your songs, you're taking your offering, you're preaching, but I'm not there." Church is supposed to be about Jesus. God help us when we start having church without Him. I tell you, it's not a church I want to attend. Because we can't be this way without Him. That word there is koinonia, the Greek word. It means fellowship, brotherly fellowship, kindness. Be generous. Be hospitable. He says, especially to strangers. You know what that means? It means people that don't look like you. Our little brother that sits in the back of the church that rides his bicycle to church. I love that little guy. He's 26 years old. He's not here today. But I love him. He got a new tattoo the other day. Now, I could raise my shirt and show you I don't have any tattoos, but I think all of you would be offended. But trust me, I don't have any tattoos. But he got a tattoo. He was really proud. I said, "Take your coat off, man. I want to see that tattoo." It was of his grandma and his grandpa. I'm not a tattoo person, but I'm a Robert Adams person. I love that boy. Because I love him, I care about what he cares about. I go to soccer games to watch kids play soccer. I hate soccer. I love kids. Right? I mean, do you know they like play when there's 2 foot of snow out there? It's you're freezing your tail off. You're sitting on a metal bench free. Good job! The score, 1-0. Oh. Somebody finally scored. I love kids. Therefore, I go to a soccer game. Be hospitable. Why do we have people at the door? Because we want to greet you. We want you to know you've come into a place of love. A genuine love. A love of the Spirit of God. Be gracious to each other. Scripture said. Be gracious. You know, grace is not a... grace is not a human thing. I will give you what you deserve. Like that. Grace is not giving someone what they deserve. Grace is giving people what they don't deserve. In other words, when that clerk at Walmart is having a really bad day and she's just nothing but nasty, you don't say, "Hope you get fired." No. That's giving her what she deserves. You say, "God bless you. I hope your day goes better. Jesus loves you, and I hope you have a better day." You know what I'm saying? Have you ever, you know, Chuck Swindoll says, you remember Will Rogers said, "I never met a man that I didn't like." Chuck Swindoll said, "I'd like to introduce him to a few people." I think they challenge him. Grace is uniquely a characteristic of God. But when God comes in you, you become a person of grace. You become a person that wants to give the favor of God out. You find yourself being gracious when the old Eric, the old person would say, "They don't deserve it." You watch a movie and at the end of the movie you're saying, "Kill them! Kill them!" That ain't grace. Let's come a little closer home. We watch the nightly news. And Cruz says, "We're going to carpet bomb them." And every Christian around says, "Yes. Carpet bomb them all. Send them to hell in a handbasket." Forgive us, Lord. What if instead of praying for them to be carpet bombed, we pray that God send missionaries to win them to Jesus? Amen. So instead of persecuting Christians, they become living Sauls turned to Pauls.
That's right.
Say, Eric, you're doing good until that point. Yeah, I know it's challenging. It's challenging. I'm not standing up here telling you I'm doing great on this. I'm telling you I struggle with this too. I listen to the news and I see them slitting heads and killing kids, and I think, get them. That's right. But instead of that, maybe we ought to be saying, Holy Ghost, get them. Jesus, save them. Man, they're so blinded. But do you remember the guy who wrote the passage that we're reading today? Do you understand? He was that guy. He was the guy that was dragging Christians out of their home and having them killed. He was ISIS. God didn't say, carpet bomb, Saul. He knocked him off his horse. And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm the guy you're fighting against. I hope you're getting challenged today, maybe a little bit uncomfortable at this point, to where tonight when you watch the news, you stick that hand up and say, Jesus, do something over there. Do something. Save those people. Sure needs a revival over there. Be sympathetic towards people. True love never stands on the sidelines of aloofness. You know what that is? I don't care. Yeah. So they got a need. Who cares? Kids with cancer. They're going to spend 3 months at St. Jude's. Yeah. Bad luck for them, huh? So what can we do for you? Who's going to be mowing your yard the next 3 months? Who's going to take care of your bills? How are you going to eat? See, love costs you. You're going to get dirty. You're going to get in the gutter with some people. So I ain't ever had a drug problem. I'm squeaky clean. And you may find that God calls you to hold the hand of that drug addict.
That's right.
And say, God bless you. I'm with you, brother. Yeah. You can make it. You can do it. You can overcome. Why? Because he that's in you is an overcomer. Yeah. Be sympathetic. Be humble. Humble is just appreciating others first. We teed on the fact that we're number one. See, if you don't ring your bell, ain't nobody going to ring it. Well, I'm going to tell you, I wish Christians could quit ringing their own bell. Let's start ringing His bell. Let's start being humble, preferring each other. Do you know, I think above everything, God hates pride above everything. And if you read the portion of Scripture when Satan was cast out of heaven, you'll see what the original sin was. It was pride. So when pride comes into your heart, you say, well, I never acted like that. Dear God, you probably acted worse. You just forget. You forget who you used to be. And I'm thankful we do forget some of those things we used to be. That's the grace of God too. But let's not stand in judgment. God's not called us to judge each other. God's called us to love each other. Never retaliate. Christians are not in the business of retaliation. See, the Bible says that God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Jesse Duplantis says, that's fine, but he's just way too slow with that retaliation. He's saying, come on, God, get him. I find that God is very patient with people. It's amazing how patient He is and how loving He is. So there's another little part of that scripture. And it says, if you do good to those that do bad to you, you heap coals of fire on their head. Oh, that sounds exciting. I love that. I had an aunt one time, she said, if I go to hell, I hope my job in hell is to stoke his fire. Somebody she didn't like very well. That ain't what that's talking about. Heaping coals of fire on their head is not what you think it is. It's not a retaliation. This means that warm their heart with your love. This means that if Terry is mad at me and she's talking bad about me, and all I do is love her. All I never retaliate. All I do is love her. Her heart is going to change towards me because I'm operating in love. You guys know this. Now listen real close. I'm not going to keep going a long time. Another hour and I should be done. Strife is a choice. Strife is a choice. You don't have to fight with your husband. Let me preach this over here. She said last week, she said, "Would you quit acting like we fight all the time?" We don't fight. Because strife is a choice. You literally can't keep your mouth shut. You may not want to. You know, most of the time pride gets in the way. Because there's things that come up in your heart and your spirit, and it goes something like this. How dare they treat me that way? How dare they treat me? Do they not know who I am? So they probably do. I've treated them good. What's happening? You got pride. You got pride. Humble yourself and love, even when your flesh wants to rise up. The Bible says, I believe it's Proverbs 15, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath. What's that mean? A soft answer is something that goes like this. Yes, dear. I love you. I wasn't going to add that one. Yes, dear. I want to fight with you. I want to give you what little peace of mind I've got left. But yes, dear. Let me serve you in that way. You know what you just did? You just put down a fire. You just kept her from stacking another block in her heart against you. Why? Because you gave up yourself to serve her. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but these two guys here, this is what pastoring is.
Yes, I know.
Pastoring is keeping your mouth shut a lot. When you want to say something, but the Holy Ghost says, When people offend you, I can't get behind the pulpit and say, you know what happened to me this week? You can't do it. You keep your mouth shut. They may talk, but you can't. Doesn't seem fair, but it's God's way. Why? Because you're loving. Never retaliate. Did you get that point? Never retaliate. Did you hear that? Never retaliate. Sometimes you can retaliate. No, it's not what Scripture says. Never retaliate. Never evil for evil. Never word for word. We don't get that luxury. And then he ends with this remarkable verse. Remarkable. And I'm not playing this down. Overcome evil by doing good. Overcome evil by doing good. Overcome evil by doing good. Are you getting it? You don't overcome evil by being quiet. You overcome evil by doing good. They've done bad to me. They've hurt me. They stole from me. They lied to me. They cussed me out. He stole my girlfriend. I guess I should have been. Overcome evil by doing good. Be nice. Be good. Treva's mom used to have a saying. And she would say, don't be ugly. Be Christian. I'm sure Treva heard that a lot growing up. But in my years of marriage, I heard that a few times too. One time we were sitting at the dinner table and my son came in and my son started talking, my oldest son, and her mom, I think she thought she was whispering. She put her head down and she goes, "Bad spirit." And Matt said, "I heard that, Grandma. You just said I had a bad spirit," and it embarrassed her. But she said, "That was a bad spirit." She nailed it. Deal with it, son. That's a bad spirit. Don't be ugly. Say, that doesn't happen in the church, does it? It happens all the time. You may not get your choice of the new carpet. Don't be ugly. It ain't about you. I didn't want that fixture. I don't care. I really don't. Don't care a bit. I don't care. You're not going to get your way. Not on everything. Don't be ugly. Be a Christian. Overcome evil by doing good. So when somebody starts gossiping to you in the foyer, I sound like we got a really bad church here, don't we? We don't. We're going to make it better, though, because we're going to do it God's way. Amen. So when somebody starts gossiping to you in the foyer, what's your job? "My ears are not garbage cans. Thank you, but I don't want to hear this mess." Say, "Well, that's ugly." No, that's truthful. That's just being truthful. Say it in love. "God bless you. My ears are not garbage cans. Take this garbage outside." You know, if Christians would just get some backbone, we'd put a stop to some of this nonsense. One of the things that God says He hates is people that sow discord in the body of Christ. I believe it's one of the things you will answer for. You know, another thing I think you're going to answer for is starting a church in Henry County. Those of you that was with us in the very beginning, I believe God took notice. Those of you that have joined us, joined in the vision, God takes notice. First Assembly, God takes notice of this merger. You know why? Because it's selfless. There's no selfishness in this thing. It's selfless. It's not about Bridge of Hope and it's not about First Assembly. It's about serving the kingdom. Bridge of Hope will never be in debt because of you. Because you worked. You paid the price. I'm telling you, this is a guy that knows what it's like to be out of debt. I've been out of debt for a long time, and I love being out of debt. Because the Bible says the debtor is servant to the lender. One of the things that grieved me about being a pastor was I kept praying, "Lord, I do not want to take this church deep in debt." You can't build a church for less than about $1 million today. Bless the Lord. We don't go in debt, guys. The kingdom prospers. The kingdom prospers. So we can take the money that we would have paid on a mortgage and we can put it into lives of people. And we can feed the hungry Kelleher children. God bless you. Stand with me if you would. God cares about what happens in these doors. He really does. You know, there's a scripture that says that we can grieve the Holy Ghost. And I think when Christians act badly in the house of God, it grieves the Holy Ghost. I think when we do it right, when we do it like Romans 12 has instructed us, the Holy Ghost is free to move. He's not grieved. He's not hindered. He's able to touch our youth. He's able to touch children's church because the Holy Ghost has got freedom to move in the congregation. See, when I preach, I'm preaching the Word, but I know the Holy Ghost is speaking more than I'm preaching. He's using my words, but he's not limited by Eric. You see, I may be preaching about something, don't retaliate, and the Holy Ghost just nailed you in the back and said, you know that sister you hadn't called in 15 years? That's what that pastor's talking about. It's time to forgive. You know, the church, the guy that sits on the other side of the church, you still go to church with him, but you won't talk to him? Hey, pastor's talking about that right now. Why? Because Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that he wants us to win on every front. He says, you're too precious to me to let you walk in unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will kill you. It absolutely will steal every ounce of joy you've got. And I know what some of you are thinking, but pastor, you just don't know what happened to me. You don't know what they did. I was raped when I was 8. Not me. I'm saying this for somebody else. I'm not taking any of that away. I'm not saying that we don't know what pain is. I'm not saying that you was not really hurt. I'm just saying it's not worth holding on to. Let the love of Jesus come in and bring that forgiveness. And let that pain and sting of what's been done to you, let release it so it damns you no more. It hurts you no more. I'm going to get a little bit more personal. Probably close to half of this congregation's been divorced. Divorce can be really ugly. Can be very painful. Can we let it go? Can we just say, God, help me to forgive? That person wasn't good to me. They wasn't just, they wasn't fair, and they didn't honor their word. They took a commitment, they took a covenant that they'd stand by me for better or for worse, but they didn't do it. Forgive them. That ain't easy. I didn't say this sermon was going to be easy. But it's where God's calling us to go. Say, Eric, I just can't. I know you can't. But the Holy Ghost can. See, there's nothing that you're going to face in life that the Holy Ghost can't give you the power to overcome. I don't care what your experience has been, God is greater than that. Do you trust Him enough? Will you trust Him enough today to say, Lord, I want to walk in forgiveness. I want to walk in true love. I want to be a hugger. Not really. I want to give that Lord, dear Jesus, get me out of this one. I want to love people. I really do. I already do. I love people. I love people deeply. I think I need help showing it sometimes. I was thinking today about First Assembly coming over, and I was thinking I probably better tell them I grow on you. Worship is great. The people are great, and I'll grow on you. Sort of like mold, but I do grow. God, help us to become the people that He wants us to be. I can't give you an altar service really today because there's so many variables to this. So your seat's going to be your altar. Your seat is your altar to where you're going to lay your heart on. Every one of you, I hope you do this. I hope you lay your heart down today and ask the Holy Ghost to start working in you. Whatever you need, Lord, I need the help to forgive those people that's hurt me in the past. Lord, I need the help to love people like you loved them. Lord, I need the help to be generous. I've been stingy. I need help to be the servant. I need help, Lord, to prefer others. I've been taught that I'm number one, and that preacher's saying I'm not. I need help. Father God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch each and every heart, each and every life. Make your word come alive in their heart. Challenge us, Lord, against our carnal natures. Lord, we literally lay our hearts on the altar today. And we say, forgive us for those things that we've done. Forgive us for holding unforgiveness. Forgiving us for hating. Forgive us for being stingy. Forgive us for being impatient. Jesus, we want to be like you. We want to be like you. We want to be good representatives, good ambassadors in Henry County. Lord, I got a long way to go and I need your help. Help me, Holy Spirit, to become Christ-like in everything I do and say. Jesus, we're asking that this merge between two bodies would not just be agreeable, but it would be tremendously successful. And that together we will win Paris for Jesus Christ. Merge not only the bodies, merge not only the buildings, merge our hearts together. Make us one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We've got a tradition that was practiced in the Old Testament that we like to practice. So I asked Pastor Ray if he would come up. And we like to end every service with a blessing, and he'll lead you through it.